Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we're living in some crazy times and we know that the world is changing. So let's create a bridge as we travel through one another's countries, removing all the labels, coming together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today, Becoming Me While Raising You, A Mother's Journey to Self, is so important. And today, I'm so super excited to welcome my guest speaker, Kim Minch. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kathy. It's really nice to be with you today.
Thank you so much for spending time with me and our audience today around the globe. I'm so appreciative. You have such an incredible, powerful message for the audience of the world today. And I'm really excited to jump in. But before we do that, I know that you're trained with the Jai Institute for Parenting as a certified parent coach who specializes in working with moms and their adolescents, primarily kids between 10 and 25. Somebody in the audience is thinking 25 is still adolescence. Well, yeah, because their brain's still developing, but you're really passionate about educating, supporting, encouraging parents to raise their kids with intention and guidance rather than fear and control. And you really try to empower parents with compassion, without judgment. And you do a lot of one-on-one coaching. You do small group sessions, community workshops, and you just really try to hone in on this parenting process that people are struggling with and the way of the world that we're living today. But not only that, you are a public speaker, you're a published author, and you've had your own journey as a mom. And your memoir is entitled My Mother's Footprints, A Story of Faith, Calm, Courage, Patience, and Grace. And you're currently working on your second book. And there's just so much to this. And holy cow, like I can relate to you in so many ways, especially being a mom and, you know, just this whole concept of really supporting our children and all of this. But what I really want to talk to is Becoming Me While Raising You, A Mother's Journey to Self. There's so much in this title. It's like crazy amazing. So I'm super excited to jump in. So why don't we talk about that a little bit, your title?
So I, as you mentioned, I work with parents of teens or moms of teens specifically. I've had my own, and we can get into it, journey as a mother of five. And what I've come to realize is the parenting journey is the prime opportunity for us to grow ourselves up. Sometimes that looks like reparenting ourselves. If we didn't have a nurturing, growing relationship with our parents while we were in our own childhoods, doing the work of growing ourselves up while we're, while we're parenting our children is a beautiful thing. Becoming Me While Raising You, A Mother's Journey to Self, is the opportunity that we have to grow ourselves up through being that space for our children to grow into their own authentic selves.
It's incredible because I know as a mother, most people, especially, you know, women, when they're on the cusp of motherhood, they don't even understand what they're embarking on.
No.
And nobody tells you. Nobody tells you.
I don't know if you can articulate something like that.
right. So I think it's interesting because, you know, especially if you've come from a space where you've had to deal with a lot of trauma in your childhood or a lot of things that are unresolved, you know, just becoming a mother, it really does open the door to some of these things that maybe you haven't healed or maybe you haven't worked through. And I just wonder, you know, because you have your own personal journey as well. I can't imagine with five kids that some doors weren't opened. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that and like what that did for you? And if, you know, if that occurred for you, I know it did for me, but I'm just wondering for you.
Well, to go back to your thought or point about not knowing what's coming at you when you become a mother, I became a mother for the very first time when I was 18 years old. And that was a situation in which, I mean, clearly super growing up, you know, situation that I was in. And I had no idea. And to be honest, my oldest at this point is 33. And I think in a large part, we grew up together. You know, and then having four other kids, really, I think the more that we allow our children, the more that we don't try and mold them into what we want or need them to be in order to satisfy our own lack, our own challenges that we've gone through, that we want to have these people outside of us that, you know, we can say have grown up to be this, that, or the other person and pat ourselves on the back for being a good parent, because there's such a desire to parent well. But the greatest thing a parent can do is work on their own emotional well-being and work through and heal their own journeys so that they can be that space that's available for their kids to come, you know, to come through. Part of my journey with my oldest was he became addicted to alcohol at the age of 20. And I think that walking with him through that for a couple of years that were really harrowing in terms of where he found himself and how I was trying to help but not enable him, really began me looking inside of myself, thinking about the way I was raised, the way my parents handled things, what I really needed as a child that I didn't get, and wanting to become what I felt my kids more needed than all of the outside things that they were, you know, experience, make sure that they get a good education, make sure that, you know, they are in all the sports and all the things, all this outside stuff that I think what's truly important is for us to be available to them, to listen, to hold space, to help them, not in a way that like directs them how to find themselves, but allows them to be seen and heard for who they are. And I think we've had generations of people grown up in a space where they weren't heard or seen for who they were, for who they are, who had to perform for the love of their parents, you know, who had to, and that's why one of the most difficult things when I work with parents of teenagers is, first of all, they want a quick answer as to how they get their kid in line or to listen or whatever. And they don't understand that it's about working on them, that they're actually in the driver's seat to making the changes with their children, no matter what their age, by working on themselves, by nurturing themselves, by taking care of themselves. It's not selfish. It's allowing them then to have the emotional availability for their kids to come to them, to share with them, right?
It's so true. And, you know, I think when you're talking about the space of just allowing this authenticity of the child, whatever age they are, and the authenticity of yourself, it is hard because there's points in time where as a parent, you're brought into circumstances where you are possibly triggered into a space that you had gone through or you went through, you know, with someone else that, you know, reminds you of this uncomfortable place and time that you were in. I mean, how do parents work through that? And especially with the sense of responsibility of like, how can I work through it? Because now you're riddled with guilt because you're taking attention away from your child and putting it onto yourself.
I'm going to give you a personal example from my parenting that I think will be helpful here to illustrate. I have four boys and my youngest is my daughter and she's 15 at this point. And I was sexually abused as a 13-year-old. And about the time she came into that age and wanted to do something totally normal, like go down the street and play tennis at the at our local rec center, I became very highly anxious about that because I remembered the certain circumstances that I went through where I was sexually assaulted. And I felt like, what if this happens to her? You know, all of this anxiety was rising up in me. First of all, I think when we work on ourselves, we become more aware. We can't become aware that the emotion of guilt plays a role at times, but it doesn't serve ourselves or our children to stay in guilt. What I ended up doing in the situation, because I was feeling anxious and whatnot, and the reason I felt anxious, I think, was because my parents never talked to me about this possibility of anything like this ever happening. So I felt I didn't want to scare her, but I felt it was really important because one of the things I remembered in the moment of that situation was an intuitive that this was about to happen and not knowing what to do, like freezing. I wanted her to understand the feeling of her intuition, what it would feel like in her body, so that if she ever felt that way, that she knew she should listen to herself, because I didn't do that, right? So I told her, not going into all the details, and there was no reason to scare her, but I wanted to share with her the reason that I'm feeling this way right now is because you're about that age. I don't think there's any coincidence when a kids are a certain age and you've experienced something, you experience something in your own life during that particular age, and your kid gets to about that age, they're not experiencing necessarily the exact same thing, but there are emotions and feelings that come up in you that are correlated to what your child is going through. And the remembering of you are not your child is so, so important. And to think about if your child is experiencing something that you wish that they weren't going through, something difficult in their lives, I think one of the most important questions a parent can ask themselves is, how would I want to be treated? What would I want my parent to do or be in this situation? Is punishment or consequences or, something punitive going to help the situation? No. Being that space of listening, of validating, does not mean you need to agree with everything your child says, or especially as they get into late teens and young adulthood, our kids are going to have their own perspective on things. Doesn't mean you agree, but everyone really just wants to be seen and heard for who they are. And I think that the rise in our kids' mental health, anxiety, depression, and issues, while may be related to some things in our culture, like screen time and whatnot, it is more related to the adults in this world working through their own crap and healing, working with someone or on their own, healing themselves so that we can be who we are, so our children and our next generation can be who they are, not who they think we need them to be.
Yeah, and it's a difficult balance with facing that stuff that comes up at these periods of time, because often you're blindsided. You're completely blindsided. Like something happens and it triggers you and you feel like the rug has been ripped out from underneath your feet. And now you're scrambling, trying to figure out, how do you get back on your feet? How do you still, be the best parent you can be, and then still show up, for yourself, to take care of yourself. So, I mean, what are some tools that people can use when they're feeling those triggers?
Well, I think first of all, it seems really counterintuitive. When I say out loud, we need to take care of ourselves, it seems counterintuitive because especially as mothers, we do for everybody all the time. We're doing the things, we want our kids' lives to be happy, and you know, there's nothing we want more. But we don't know what our children are here to learn, to go through, and to, you know, experience in their lives. So I think one of the most helpful things, first step, is to really become into awareness when you are being triggered. What does that feel like for you? Like, when I say the word trigger, like, do you immediately know? Do you have an experience in your life that is like, oh yeah, when my kid does this, it totally, you know, it totally brings up these feelings that I don't want to be feeling, and I'm angry and I can't deal with them, and yada, yada. You need to become, first of all, more aware of what's going on for you in those moments. And then what we repress continues. Those feelings, that anger, whatever it is that you are going through, is, unless we allow these things to flow through us, to talk about them, to deal with them, or maybe journal about them, whatever it is, to get them out of here and through our bodies, is exactly what's needed to not repress them. And we are the example for the next generation on how to grow ourselves up to be emotionally mature and responsible with taking care of the things that maybe, you know, unconsciously we didn't want to live through or we didn't want to experience. But when they've come to our consciousness, that we take the time and make the effort to work through them.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there's so many kids out there that it's actually the opposite, where they're parenting their parents. There's a lot of kids, you know, in just doing this work with people, I've heard some extraordinary circumstances where it was the child who was taking care of the adult. And that's a difficult space to live in as well. I mean, what suggestions do you have for, you know, a young adult who's in their 20s and they may be dealing with a parent who is on drugs or, you know, it's a complete reversal. So like, right. what would you suggest for them?
You know, I would say the same thing. And that is, we don't know what anyone is here to learn, go through, or experience. And working on your own emotional well-being and boundaries helps to create that detachment and that knowledge 100% of not feeling responsible for what other people are experiencing and whether or not they're choosing to do the work that you either think they need to do or we're talking about people needing to do. You know, young adult, you child who is having to parent your parent, need to put the care in your own emotional needs at the highest forefront. And I don't say that like, oh, it's easy. Just, you know, forget about your parent who maybe is very deeply into drugs and really does need, you know, some direction in life. That is not your role or your job. You can hold space, you can love them, but you working on you taking good care of yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually is exactly what you need to be doing.
It's a beautiful testament to the time that we're in right now, because right now, more than ever, we're living in a space around the world where parenting is highlighted to such a degree. And I have seen, you know, there's it's comical. I've seen men dress up as women and then they're playing the role of mom, and it's a play on mom would have done it this way in, you know, 2019, but in 2020, it's this way. And it goes to, you know, just what they would do for their child in the kitchen and how they're giving them lunch or breakfast. And now because everybody's home, it, you know, it looks completely different. And then it's, you know, even with school, it's like before we would pack up the backpack and put all the work and the lunch and everything in the backpack and send the kid off. And, you know, and now with the way of the world, with everybody being home, it's like, there isn't this separation. It's a 24/7 job. And as much as the dad who's dressing up like mom trying to put a comical spin on it, it's really taking a toll on moms mm-hmm. and dads and whoever it is that is doing this caretaking all the time when ordinarily they would have this separation because the child would go to school. And there would be the separation where the child could, you know, be with their friends and they could do these things. But we don't have that.
Right. There's such a highlight and a focus on the family, of the family being the foundation. I mean, so much has been stripped away for us to, I mean, for months, we've all been, for the most part, at home with our children, with our parents. And I think that highlights the fact that we are the foundation. The family is the foundation. And what happens in our house gets taken out into the world. So therefore, there is no, like, really, there is no more important time than right now to be highlighting and working on the relationships in your home, relationship to self, the relationship with your partner, if that applies, and the relationship with your children. I've seen so many parents white knuckling their way through the teen years or white knuckling their way through parenting in general because they don't have the skills, they don't have the emotional bandwidth for what the job takes. And right now, it's really, really, again, being highlighted the importance of this and that we need to do something about it.
Yeah. And I think more than ever, you know, just as you're pointing out the self-care and paying attention to your needs, I think more than ever, it's also important to pay attention to the child's needs in the sense that, are they declining in their mental health? Are they doing things that are uncharacteristic or out of the ordinary to what they would normally do? And just being in touch with that. And I know, especially for you know, the tweens, the teens, that's hard to navigate because there's more of this, you know, introverted kind of space that they live in, and it's harder to connect with them.
Right.
And they shut down. So how do parents, when they're, you know, in this space, how do they get connected where they're not in the shutting down mode?
I hear you. There's such a fine line between what is normal teen behavior and what is something that I need to worry about. And this is why, and parents want a like simple cut and dried answer to this. If you see this, then this. Sure, there are signs. If your child is isolating themselves in their room all the time, if they won't participate in family dinner or anything else that you're putting on, if you're they're combative, if they're losing or gaining, you know, a ton of weight, if they are not doing what they typically love doing. And, you know, it's hard to know that because so much of the world is not available to us right now. That's why it's even more important than ever. Again, you are going to have more of a vibe, if I can use that word, you're going to have more of a vibe on the people living in your home if you are in touch with yourself. If you are taking the time that you need to, you know, and I know everyone has busy schedules, right? Even though we're, you know, under quarantine, there's still a lot of things to do. But the most important thing that you can do is create a space and quiet time for yourself to reconnect with yourself. I strongly, the women that I coach always get them into a meditation practice, just a time to be quiet with yourself every single day to knock out the noise of others around you, of the media, of, you know, everything else. So in the more you practice that, the more you will get a gut reaction as to how your kid is doing, like a gauge, like it's so subtle. I want to give you some easy answer that's going to be like, well, if you see, you know, yes, there are things that can be highlighted. However, you know, teens are, you know, they're gaining their independence and pulling way more from parents and into peers much, much more. But our children will talk to us. I'm going to go into just tell you, we have something every night at our house. It's called the party. Somebody named it that a long time ago. And we've had the party just before bedtime for years and years. Right now, it looks like my daughter, who's 15, and my son, who's 17, we meet in her room. She's got a salt lamp, much like the one behind me, and it's just that soft glow. And we will talk for 10, 15, sometimes if there's a lot, if they're willing to unpack for me or, you know, just unpack what's going on for them, it could be an hour that we talk. But every single night they come, they invite me. This has been something. And when our older boys are home, they join the party no matter what, like everybody, you know, the party is the place. And I feel so honored that my children, even at this age, will include me and want to have this time and will share with me. But that's because they know I'm not going to freak out. They know I come from a place of non-judgment, that I will listen to them, that we don't always agree. We absolutely don't always agree about things. We have very different views on things at times, but that I will give them the space. Our kids need us to be the place where they can come, that safety net. They're more interested in their friends during their teen years. There's no question. And that's as it should be. But we also want to have a good relationship with them, so that they are willing to come and talk to us about anything, and that we're not gonna freak out, or that, or they can tell if we are not in a good place emotionally, they're not gonna come to us because they're gonna not wanna burden us with anything additional. So when mom and dad are doing their own work, they open the space for that child to come and really communicate. And you can have such an important influence on your teenager's life, on your young adult's life, if you're just willing to put in, you know, the emotional work so that you can be there for them. And that you're really in tap with your own intuition, right? Like people who say, I don't know, you know, if there's something I worry about or not worry about, you know, with my kids, do we need to go see someone? Do we need to, I say, you know, get quiet. Really, that answer for you, it's right here. I don't even have it. I mean, when I coach women, I help them get to that place where they have the answer. It's not that I have the answer for them. It's me helping them remember that their answer is right here.
It's so true. And for a lot of kids, they just have this like sense of not having any control. And that's something that they feel day to day, in the sense of everything's provided for them by the adults. Everything is dictated by the adults. And when we go further into the place that we're living in, the space that we're living in today, it's like we have this added layer of stress with this global pandemic. And there are literally school districts that week to week are making decisions around whether or not the child is going to school, not going to school, if they're going 2 days or 3 days or a full week or whatever. I mean, it's so different everywhere you go.
It's so uncertain.
Yes.
So much is so uncertain. And not only that, how long we're going to be like this is uncertain.
Yes.
And so hard. That's hard to digest. But, you know, and it's understandable that, but you have a choice every moment to come from a place of fear, to parent from a place of fear. And when you parent from a place of fear, you're creating disconnection with your child. When you parent from a place of love, love for yourself, love for your children, You create connection. And the biggest thing, parents, you know, what can we do to make sure our kids don't, you know, don't fall into drugs or don't, you know, sext their boyfriends or, you know, like that kind of thing. The best defense against all of those things is the quality of the relationship that you have with your children. And it starts when they're very young. But I do believe that kids who are seen and heard by their parents for who they're becoming and not who the parent wants or needs them to be are those who will make choices for themselves for their highest good and not, I mean, kids who are heard, kids who are given the opportunity to share who they are and learn who they are and experience. I mean, because we know during the teenage years, they try all sorts of things on, you know, like they color their hair and they listen to all different kinds of music and stuff like that. And that's just part of who they are. But if a parent is able to give them the space to do that and not judgmental about it, you know, that and allows them to express who they are in that moment, you know, and I mean, that is a beautiful thing that our kids have that ability and they will come and talk to us again. I think kids do want to talk to us. I think they need our guidance. They need us to be hand in hand with them, not over them, not acting as if we know every answer. Because the truth is, we don't always know every answer. We would maybe never tell our children that, but there are moments in parenting that we don't know the answer. And I think one of the most beautiful things that you can do at times is to be slightly vulnerable and say that to your child. Right now, this whole thing we're living in, none of us knows exactly how, you know, what's going to come next or whatever. But we also model that when we are stressed, when we can't deal with the uncertainty ourselves, we model that for our kids. So again, taking time for yourself so that you can be the calm in your children's storm. That's our role as a parent.
And there's so many circumstances right now where in this environment that we're living in, do you allow your children, your young adults, teenagers, do you allow them to have some sort of sense of control in a time where things just seem out of control?
I think where you can, that's really important. For example, I mentioned I have two kids that are in high school, and we have the opportunity where I live to either go all virtual, all in school, or a hybrid. My daughter has chosen to do a hybrid education. My son, totally virtual. And I think where you can get, again, where you can give your kids choices in that, I give them, you know, I really, in terms of the course level of course that they're taking, that's they're doing, where I can give them choices and autonomy in their lives, I do that. There's a couple of non-negotiables in our house. Because of the experience I lived through with my eldest son, there's absolutely no alcohol or drugs, you know, no alcohol before 21 years of age. Not that that's a magic number, but, you know, I come in contact with parents all the time. They're like, well, I'd rather have them drink at home than, you know, rather have them teach them at home and whatnot. And because I have lived, and I'm not coming from a space of fear so much as I know what alcohol does to the brain, right? So I would say to parents, what are your non-negotiables? What are the things that you absolutely could, you know, and then anywhere else in their lives that you can give them, age appropriately, give them autonomy and choice in their lives to try things on, to decide not to continue with something. If maybe they've done it for years and maybe it's potentially a scholarship situation, but the kid is miserable in what they're doing. I mean, you know, release the need to control as much as you can, because goodness knows by the time they become young adults, that's when we really know the delusion of any control that we had is completely gone when they are young adults and, you know.
It's so true. But I want to get back to this title, Becoming Me While Raising You. And I mean, if there's a message that you really could hone in on that helps mothers in this, you know, this title format that you have, what is the message?
The greatest work you can do on your life journey is to work on the relationship you have to yourself. The second most important thing, if you've been given the role of parent, is to be the space to allow this person who's come through you or to you to be who they're meant to be. Because we're living in a time when we're so focused on what other people think. We're so focused on the way it looks on the outside. And this is why we're having so many mental health issues, is because we're not focused on the relationship, the inner relationship, and the connection we have with other people. Because there really is nothing more important than that. That's what life is about, is expressing, you know, in connection with others.
And I think the beautiful thing about motherhood too is, you know, the ability to really be side by side with your child and really help them to become the person that they're meant to be, and open up that space for them to show them or help guide them, you know, that this is part of life.
This is coming to me. I have to say it right now. And that we continue to grow. I mentioned before we started recording, you know, some transitions that are going on in my life. And I think one of the most important things we can do is to show our children that the whole lifespan is a journey to grow, that we don't stop growing when we become an adult, that life is about learning every single day and choosing to make it a priority in our life, to seek that truth about what life is about. So I think, like I said, I think allowing your children to see that you are continuing to grow is also another excellent way that they will know it's okay for themselves to try things on and grow themselves and, you know, become who they are, become themselves.
And I think the age-old question of, who am I supposed to be? Like, I don't care if you're a child or an adult. That's like the question that always comes up for people, is who I'm supposed to be. And what I find interesting is there's many examples of this, like through and through, not just in my life, but I think in most people's lives, where we do have people in our life that are stuck. They're just stuck. And if you're in a relationship with a person who is stuck, it is difficult. And I think it's even more important that as mothers, that we're open to this expansion of healing. We're opening our children up to this expansion of healing and working through some of this space, so that it gives them permission to do that for themselves. But it also shows them that people are in different spaces at different times, and we can still honor people where they are in their space, in their journey. And just that unconditional love, it also teaches them that they can live that way, but also have this unconditional love for whoever it is in their life. It is a process. I know as a mom from my children, we've had so many conversations just around how life evolves and how we evolve through life and how we change. And it's interesting because we also have these patterns where we keep duplicating these cycles. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, for one of my children, I won't say who, if they were listening, they'll know who it is. But this one particular pattern where a certain type of person keeps showing up, and this type of person necessarily isn't the best person. And we can swap out the names, right? But whether it was elementary school, middle school, you know, adulthood, it's still that same type of person. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the life lesson is recognizing what's healthy, recognizing what's not healthy, recognizing, you know, to your point, you had said the boundaries earlier, recognizing your personal boundaries. And, you know, maybe this type of person isn't the right type of person for you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we just need to put this person outside our fence. Doesn't mean we don't have to have a relationship with them, but they're still there, but we have this separation for ourselves so that we're not getting that impact. Right. And I think that's the gift of that journey, that growth journey, you know, that recognizing that we are healing, we're evolving, but our children are doing the same thing. And part of that is just modeling for them, showing them, and having compassion, right. not just for them, but for ourselves and for our fellow human. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And there's so many women right now that probably just found out that they're pregnant and they're terrified because they're thinking, how can I do this? How can we live in this world the way that it is today? And how can I really do this? So I ask you, how can they do it?
That is such a good, because I myself, to be brutally honest and transparent, have thought, you know, like, my goodness, what if I were a young mother, or, you know, in the process of, or wanted to have a family, or, you know, newly pregnant. I think that, first of all, I think it's an incredible blessing to have the gift of a human being come through you. I think that the children who are coming into the world now are either more sensitive or really showing us again where we need to change and evolve, not only just parenting, but just growing ourselves up emotionally as human beings, taking the time to reflect, not being afraid of the feelings that are coming up for ourselves and covering them up with some facade or some lifestyle outside of us that makes it look as if everything is okay. Really to have the courage to work on ourselves. I think one of the most important things that mothers can do if you're newly pregnant, or this is, you know, you have young children, is to stop buying into the message that we get that you can do it all and have it all. You can't do it all and have it all. Don't delude yourself into that. The most important thing you can do, again, is take care of the relationship to yourself and the relationship with this tiny person that's coming into your life. Because I had no idea, now that I look back on it, how incredibly important it was when my children were little, you know, to talk to them, to spend time with them. All of that is so much more important than making sure the house is clean or whatever else, you know, making sure everyone's got matching outfits. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, the most important thing that you can do as a new mother is to take care. I feel like I've said this a million times during this during this podcast, but we think it's important to do all the things, but what's really important is to honor ourselves and to admit the feelings that we're feeling to someone that we trust, or if we have absolutely no one in our lives, to be journaling about it, to just allow the feelings to come up and through us. and to give space for everybody else in our lives to do that same thing.
It's so powerful. And I think for most women that go into this walk in motherhood, they lose this connection to themselves because they're just giving, 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 giving. And I know for a lot of empty nesters, these women get to the other side and now they're like, who am I?
Yes, I hear that all the time. I don't even know who I am. I don't know who I am anymore. And it's a beautiful thing if you're on the beginning end of this and you're just becoming a mother now, to continue to cultivate a sense of self outside of these children that you're bringing into the world, so that someday you don't, I mean, it's not that you can't discover who you are at the age of 55 or whatever your empty nest is, but how beautiful it would be to not have to ask yourself the question, because you've been so immersed in everybody else for 20, 25 years, to have to come to a place, because many, many women do. They do. They, you know, I don't even know who I am. It's not that that can't be figured out. It's just that one of the beautiful things we could do, if I have some wisdom to give to some young mothers, is continue to invest in yourself and cultivate who you are separate from the very important role that you have as mother to your children.
And cultivate your relationship with yourself and continue to blossom the things that make you you.
Yes. You know,
the things that you enjoy, the things that light you up, whatever that is.
And try new things. Don't be afraid to try new things. I think the older we get, sometimes we're afraid to try new things. That's also another good example to show our children, that we're never too old to, you know, learn something new, to try something different, to go someplace different. I think that's a beautiful teaching that we can impart on our children as well.
I so agree. I could talk to you for hours. Like, literally, I could talk to you for hours. So, Kim, I'm going to ask you, I ask all of my guests, if I were to find your earth angel feather on the ground and I were to pick it up, what would your message to the world be?
It would be this. Our children come through us or to us, but not for us, except for the lessons they reflect to us during their journey, in an effort to grow us up along the way. Your children are not doing things to you. They are doing things for you to get back to a relationship to self so that you can be who they need you to be in their lives.
That is beyond beautiful. And I thank you so, so much for being with me and sharing this beautiful message with the world. And I'm just so filled with gratitude and honored to have you with me today. So thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to get that message out.
And that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels reminding you to live your authentic life with peace and retreat to peace. And we'll see you next time. Welcome back. What have you done today to mother yourself? What I mean by that is when we are going through our personal journeys and we're taking care of our families, we're taking care of everyone else in our life, sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves. And one of the things that I've seen over and over is how Mother's Day can be very triggering for some people, especially if you've lost your mother, if you grew up without your parent, if you had any kind of circumstances where you're estranged from your mother. These kinds of circumstances can cause you to be triggered on such a day like Mother's Day, which we all know is celebrated in May and is coming up. So one of the things I wanted to do is just share a little bit about my own personal story and journey and what I have done. One of the things that I would do when I was young, because I didn't have my mother in my life, is I would be very aware of how I was feeling and what it was that I needed. One of the things that I recognized early on is that mothers usually brush their little girl's hair. They tend to their hair. They braid their hair. You make sure that their hair is neat and presented and in such a way that it is nice. I didn't really have that when I was growing up. My hair was washed once a week. It was never cut. It was very long. It was kind of straggly, especially at times. And it would get brushed maybe once a day. And often there would be a lot of knots in it. And it just was something, it was a part of me that I found to be very upsetting because I didn't want all this extra hair that seemed very burdensome to other people as far as taking care of it. So as I got older, I started to recognize this, and instead of it being something that I didn't like, I wanted to turn it into something that was beautiful and made me feel different. So one of the things that I would do is if I needed to feel some mothering, I would actually go to a salon or a hairdresser, and I would take the time to pamper myself, where I would allow someone to wash my hair, to brush my hair, to cut my hair, and just make me feel in such a way that maybe someone would have felt if their mother had done that when they were a little girl. So for me, that was just my own little way of getting myself into a space where I was being mothered. I've also had to learn throughout my life how to parent myself in a way that I would surround myself with things that maybe I would do for my mother, or if she had been in my life, or as a mother, I would like done for me. So the simple act of having flowers. So during Mother's Day, a lot of times mothers are presented with flowers. And when I was growing up, that was something that I would do for my grandmother. I would go into the yard. I would find wild flowers. Oftentimes, beknownst to myself, I would be picking some yellow dandelions or some weeds in the yard. But every single time I presented her those flowers, she just beamed with joy because she knew it was coming from a space of love, and it was a very innocent thing, but it was a gesture of love. And those yellow dandelions, often, you know, people will kill them with weed killer, but they are like sunflowers. They're bright yellow. They're kind of like a happy kind of flower in the sense that they add a ray of sunshine to our lives. So for me as a little girl, it just was equated to the sun, and it was bright and vibrant and just something I wanted to share with my grandmother to brighten her day. For myself, as I got older, one of the things that I would do to mother myself is I would randomly buy flowers for myself. Or if I planted flowers in the yard and they were in bloom, I would cut them and put them in a vase and bring them in and just enjoy the beauty that I was surrounded with. So this Mother's Day, what can you do to mother yourself? What can you do to pamper yourself in such a way that you will feel beautiful, feel encouraged, and just be in a space of love and gratitude? The other thing I wanted to ask everyone to do also was to think about an older woman that has been in your life that has maybe helped to nurture you. And maybe this isn't your mother. Maybe this is someone who is a mother figure or who has acted like a mother to you. Take the time to acknowledge her. Take the time to extend your hand of gratitude to her and let her know that you're thinking of her. Because oftentimes we forget that these women, most of the time, they're living by themselves. They are older. They may have lost their husbands. They may just you know, be by themselves by choice, but often they're alone. And a lot of times they can be out there on their own, and during Mother's Day can be in a state where they're grieving their own mother or the connection that they had with their mother. So be mindful of someone in your life who may be older, more of a mother figure to you, that you can extend your hand to and just reach out to them and show them some gratitude. And of course, if there's someone who's younger than you, if there is an adopted child or someone that you have a relationship with that you serve as a pseudo mother to, let them know you're thinking of them. Because unbeknownst to you, maybe Mother's Day is a hard day for them. I know for myself, those little interactions, especially growing up without my mother, they meant everything to me. So think about someone you could reach out to that you might be a light in their world, and just extend your light to them and let them know that you're thinking of them. This is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace, and I hope you will join us next week when I bring Rhianna Campbell to the table and we talk about the recovery of a teen mom. She talks to us about her intimate journey of being a teen mom and all the hardships that she had to go through and how she turned her life around. It's a remarkable journey, a remarkable story. You're not going to want to miss this one. So please have a beautiful week ahead. Happy Mother's Day to all of you that are mothers, whether you're a mother to a pet, a pseudo adopted niece or nephew, or someone in your community, or whatever it looks like, however it shows up. Enjoy your day and remind yourself to do something special for you. Enjoy those flowers, enjoy the pampering, whatever it is you choose to do, because you are special, you deserve it, and you are a light in this beautiful world. So don't forget that. So until next week, have a beautiful week. And as always, retreat to peace, and we'll see you next time.